Damn. Yes. Listen. Come here for a minute, let me borrow your ear. I was just a little kid, I heard it perfectly clear. Got a chip planted in my neck when I was six. And ever since, I've been tripping off this music-ish. I couldn't sleep, television screen kept me awake. My brothers laid away, booming in the room for the crates. I couldn't wait. Plus,
and
I was late for the school bus. Rhyming in the mirror with my Spider-Man toothbrush.
Yeah, another installment of in the Playroom. As always, I'm your host, Stu Pedasso. It's April 17th, 2016. And this is episode 187. Joining me this week, we have Vi Guy.
Ultra Combo!
And Harry Sackdell.
Sup?
We typically start out with, how's your week going? Is everyone doing good? All that bullshit, right? This week, I want to switch it up. I started listening to a new podcast that, needless to say, I enjoy a lot of podcasts. So if you enjoy a lot of podcasts, you might recognize some of the things that we try out here at the Infinite Playroom podcast. Let's go ahead and start out with the fuck up of the week. Yeah, I thought it was pretty entertaining. I don't know if anything comes to mind. Either of you two have what's the worst fuck up you guys experienced this week?
Interesting. I don't know, man. If anybody's a blues fan,
yeah,
it'd be enough. Easy to argue that Friday night's refs fucked up pretty hard.
Right?
Yeah, that comes to my mind. I'm sure there's something that I fucked up that I tend to just delete from my memory.
Well, my personal biggest fuck up this week was I was running a 300 plus foot cable line across a road, and it was just like maybe 10 feet too short. And because the spool of cable is on my van, it's not like I'm actually spooling it out as I go. So I like have to roll it out of the van, then cut it off with what I think is the appropriate amount. So it's always a guessing game a little
right.
bit. Needless to say, I have approximately 200 plus foot of RG11 cable in my van that I had to end up, I couldn't use because I ended up having to rerun that line. So for me, and I think I may have pulled my back out or muscles, I'm sore, a lot sore than I should be for having to haul all this big ass cable. So that was my personal biggest fuck up of the week. I was very disappointed. Took not
so
twice
now you
gotta
haul this long ass cable around in your van until you find a use for it, or cut it up and use it in different locations, or what?
Yeah, well, because it's RG11, it's supposed to only be for like 250 feet or more.
And this is probably about, it's essentially useless, is what you're saying.
Most likely. We do recycle it back at the shop, so I'm probably just going to end up dumping this back in the... So, needless to say, that's my personal biggest fuck-up of the week. But
Yeah,
that sucked.
But, I still have to get on a ladder at least 4 more times today in front of my house, so there's plenty of time for me to fuck up, for sure.
Getting on the ladder that many times is like one day for me. So.
Yeah, I know. I get it. This is also like an 80-year-old sketch ladder.
Fair enough. I will say I got what they call a sumo ladder, not because I'm a sumo, but because the legs prop out to the side a little bit for more support.
And so you get like 4 points of contact instead of 2?
Well, you're not.
Shouldn't that be standard?
Actually, it's not. Most of the ladders have adjustable legs that you can like lengthen or shorten if you're on a slope or something. But the one I have is one of the newer ones, and the legs actually prop out about 1.5 feet if you want them to. They don't automatically do it. You just slide it out, and it's really super nice. I love it. But the thing is, when you're, especially like Harry's saying, when you're on a house, there's nothing to like rope off to. At least if you're on a pole or on a main strand, you can take your safety belt and like, you're like, so even if the ladder were just hit by a truck or something, you're just hanging on the line or the pole. You're not on a house. There's nothing to like secure to. So if the ladder goes, you're just kind of going with it. That's the shitty part about that. But
yeah, you do.
But you'll be fine. I'm sure you'll be fine. Don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, welcome to episode 300 of the Cable Guy Podcast.
Speaking
of episode 300, real quick. We're a lot closer to 2 than I thought we were.
I know. We'll be there, what, by August?
It's crazy.
Give or take.
Yeah, end of July, maybe. If everything goes according to plan.
Sweet.
Vigar, any fuck-ups this week?
You know, I've been trying to think of one really, really diligently, and I guess I just haven't fucked up.
Really?
And I can't really think of anybody else's. Like, I'm trying to find...
You didn't lose a Mortal Kombat match just by a hair because you ducked instead of kicked or anything?
Oh, that happens constantly. That's so common, so commonplace. I just...
yeah, I don't even think...
Doesn't really stand out.
Okay, okay.
Give me the rest of the episode to think about fuck-ups.
All right, we'll come back to you at the end then. All right, guys. Well, let's get into the show. It's a bit of lighter news. Vigai, this one was kind of for you. It's on the Facebook page, but there is now a... you said, don't even talk to me about Facebook. there's a new Pokemon lingerie collection, and they did put a little pun. You know, you guys, I love my puns. You guys know this.
Indeed.
It says there's a new Pokemon lingerie collection, so everyone can get a Pikachu.
Ah, God!
Come on, that's funny. That's funny.
That's funny.
I don't know about you guys, but personally, I don't know. Pokemon.
Like,
never
I think
really
a Squirtle
kills.
Reference could make it a little bit dirtier.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Possibly funnier.
No, I got.
I mean, think about all the Pokemon out there. I mean, the Pikachu one is obvious, but. I mean, give me till next week, and I'm sure I can come up with some pretty raunchy, funny ones.
fair enough. Vigai, what's your take on this? Is this something that you might buy for a little fantasy time?
if I found the right girl and she was of age, yes.
Hold on.
Wait a minute.
I mean. The
you
lingerie
had, you
is...
had to stick that in there. Well, she had, you know, and she's of age because
well,
if she's not of age.
I mean, I got to
clearly.
I guess I should give you some context.
Okay.
Whenever sure. I wear this Pokemon hoodie that Stu and the boys bought me back in the day out, yeah. I attract all kinds of, you know, girls, but not usually the right kind.
You mean usually they're minors?
It's happened more than once. Yeah.
Wow.
That is awesome. That is awesome, my friend.
I don't know how awesome that actually is.
No, it's awesome.
People are looking at him like, look at this fucking pedophile.
pedo.
Yep. That's what it feels like.
Oh, God. Well, did you see some of the examples of... I guess you haven't seen the article.
No, when you told me about it, I thought the whole thing was a setup for a fucking pun.
Oh.
No, he thought the whole thing was a pun. Nope.
It is a real deal. Let's see here. Look like what?
House slippers for your body. It doesn't even look like clothes.
The Pikachu underwear is really the only lingerie-esque thing that I see here.
What about the Pokeball boxers? Now, I will give you...
But when you hear lingerie, that's not what comes to mind.
Sure, everybody likes
you think
wear.
Of like a Victoria's Secret kind of frilly, you know, whatever. At least I do. I don't think of stuff like this. This is like, hey, here's a robe.
Sleepwear.
Here's a Pikachu robe.
I guess they were just going, along with the cuteness theme.
I think that's more of a Pikachu cape, to be fair.
Indeed, you are right there.
What's the 025? I don't get that reference.
Pikachu's number 25.
Ah, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Deep cut. That's kind of a deep cut for some lingerie or sleepwear, whatever.
I get the feeling this is the sort of thing that will show up in a few magazines and a few galleries in Japan and never leave the country. So much of what happens in Japan never does, you know?
Yeah. Well, fair enough. Well, needless to say, I thought it was an amusing article nonetheless. And since we can loosely tie it to our Pokemaster here, I thought you might appreciate it.
I mean, I've seen Japanese jetliners covered in Pokemon. I've seen parades of hundreds of people in gigantic Pikachu suits marching in unison like soldiers. So
I think the Western world, majority wise, doesn't realize the kind of like crazy shit that goes on over there like every day.
It's an island nation, so they can
do whatever they want. Every day, it's just like random shit all the time.
April 12th, we had the drop for the first DLC update, free update for The Division. This is where they dropped Incursions, and there was a bit of a mishap.
They've been having a little rough time here and there,
to say the least. There was an issue where your character was, they didn't call it deleted, but they said it was unviewable. But that bullshit was deleted.
Come on.
I mean, now granted, they did go back and restore, as far, from what I've heard, they did go back and restore any character that, they have fixed it, and they did restore any character back to its April 12th status. So any gear and stuff that you had
on it. That would not have sufficed for me. I'd have been like, you better give me a little bit of something for that.
It depends on what was done.
Give me some Phoenix credits. That'd be cool.
So let me ask you this. You go to log in on April 12th for whatever reason, and your character's gone. And you're like, oh, shit, what the fuck? And they're like, oops, our bad, sorry. We'll go ahead and restore your character. Here it is. Just as you left it. So you didn't actually get any playtime with it. And you still expect to get some more stuff out of it?
Yeah.
Alright, well.
Man, you gotta milk them for all they're worth, dude. Think about it, man. When you, how much hours you've dumped into one character like that.
Yeah, and all those hours are still there.
You're so pumped to get in this incursion and yada yada. Where's my shit? You know how pissed you're gonna be? Very.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
You know what? And at least for the inconvenience. I'm not asking for a whole lot, but at least for the inconvenience, be like, you know, here's whatever, 50 Phoenix credits for our bad.
Don't get me wrong.
Done,
yes,
man. Done. Then I'm cool with it.
That would be nice. Don't get me wrong. That would be nice. But I think we did see a lot of that with Grand Theft Auto. I think initially there was a lot of issues.
There's other games that I believe we've played too where that's happened, but I can't seem to pin one down in my head where there have been major server issues, maybe an EA title or something like that, and then they hook you up with maybe an appearance, this or that, or, you know, just something. Yeah,
of in-game currency or something.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, well, needless to say, as far as I know currently, in fact, Harry and I got down a little bit last night and went through two of the dailies that we could do. To get some Phoenix credits and whatnot. So we'll touch a little bit about that when we jump into what we've been playing. If you head over to our Facebook page, there's a link that Ironclad posted by a guy. This is probably something that you might be interested in. Apparently Square Enix held a little press conference about the upcoming Nier title, the sequel to the PS3 title that you were...
Yeah.
Pretty hyped about, I think you got into it towards the end of last year, I think.
Yeah, I was a late comer to it, but it was an amazing game, and I almost missed it.
Now, refresh my memory. This was a, is it a JRPG, or is it an action-adventure, or what is it?
It's Japanese. It's an action-oriented RPG. You never really have a party. You're just one dude running around with swords and magic. Very well done. I might add. Now you have a helper or two from time to time.
Yeah.
Really crazy thing about this game is that there's this chick you meet, right?
Okay.
She's really foul mouthed, like extremely foul mouthed, and just kind of a Debbie Downer type of chick. But she's extremely scantily clad, and she's mysterious, and her name's Kane, and she comes and goes and doesn't really seem to fit into the story, but towards the end things start coming together and you start learning why she has such a bad attitude about everything. And you end up learning through this story board that she is an outcast from society, also known as an abnormal person.
Which maybe a there divergent, has divergent, perhaps.
Well, there's been a lot of discussion about this on the internet, and I guess the Japanese version of the game went into depth on this subject a little bit more.
Okay.
Basically, she's a hermaphrodite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like this extremely hot, very distracting chick who turns out to be a hermaphrodite. Dude,
chicks it's with dicks, those, who doesn't love that shit, right?
It's just one of those surprise moments that Japan likes to pull on you as a gamer. Like, remember the first time you played the first Metroid and at the end the suit comes off and you're a girl?
Yeah, that was, I didn't actually beat the first one, but I was surprised to hear that, yes.
It's kind of like that sort of revelation, and that's just one of the tiny things. The soundtrack alone was enough to, I don't know, I fell in love with this game. It's very special to me. It stands out apart from all other JRPGs. And
when did this come out?
Oh, God. I'm going to say 5-6 years ago, probably more.
So 2005?
Yeah, that sounds about right. 2009? No, that would be 11 years ago.
But, oh, well, I didn't... I thought you played it last year for the first time, right?
I did, but yeah, it was one of those games, and here's what's weird about it.
2010. Let me just look at it.
It was a sleeper because it looks very generic. The main character in the original game in Japan was this skinny little kind of girly looking dude like you're wont to see in a lot of Japanese games. Well, they didn't think that image would sell in the West, so they transformed the main character. They gave him a different name, different role.
Yeah, 2010.
They made him a, 2010. Okay, that sounds about right then.
Yeah, I don't know.
They made him a big muscle-bound dude, and they thought that would help it sell in the West because we're into big muscle-bound shit. But instead, it just served to make it look generic and like every other game on the shelf, and most people just never gave it a second glance.
It's out on, it was a cross-platform title, PS3 and Xbox 360.
Yeah, it was, and I'm told that it's very hard to find on both. It's never been available anywhere digitally. It's a disc only.
It's one of those.
Alright, well, fair enough. So, how excited are you about this title?
Extremely, and I haven't even watched the footage yet because I don't want to make noise.
No, it's all good.
Extremely. I mean, I got a feeling it's one of those that they'll probably be showing for another year or two before we ever actually get our hands on it, but I can't wait.
Oh, really?
Just to hear the soundtrack, I can't wait.
Yeah, I pulled it up on Amazon. It's $23.79 for the PS3 and $20.43 for the 360 version.
Okay. So, it's reasonable.
Got a 67 out of 100 on the Metacritic score. Yeah, it sounds cool. So what would you compare it? What other games would you compare it to as far as the gameplay?
Anything I compare it to is just going to bring it down.
Like Fable?
No.
Does it have melee, range, and magic, or is it just...
It does.
Is it turn-based, like Final Fantasy? Magic.
It doesn't really have ranged.
Okay.
It's not turn-based. It's very much just what you see is what you get action style. Yeah.
Kind of like The Witcher?
Yeah, only there's no horse.
But it's still open world.
You have a giant warthog.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I could definitely compare it to that. Solid battle mechanics. Just really...
Like Dark Soul-ish battle mechanics? Like tough?
It's not... No, I don't. I can't compare it to Dark Souls. It seems like people compare everything to Dark Souls these days.
I'm just asking.
I don't blame you because it's a great game.
I think they kind of compare it more to difficulty level for Dark Souls, not necessarily, but being in kind of an open world, real time adventure, like action adventure, I guess is what it called.
Okay, yeah, it feels like that. It's just a lot more forgiving.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But... All right. Well, fair enough. We'll definitely keep an eye on it. The game looks amazing, and the characters look hot.
Yeah.
I always feel weird saying that about animated characters.
Don't.
Yeah, can't help it. Feels weird. They're not real.
Don't matter.
Fair enough. Well, some news that we're all looking forward to. Witcher 3 Blood and Wine has officially been announced. We have a release date of June 7th, and they say this is going to be 20-plus hours of additional gameplay, which is almost twice as long as Hearts of Stone, which was the first DLC content.
I'm going to try and squeeze at least 30 out of it.
I'm sure you can.
Did you hear that this is going to include two new Gwent decks? Two whole decks.
No, I had not heard anything about that. Are you serious?
Yep. I'm serious. So if that's any indication of how big this is going to be, you know, to collect two whole Gwent decks, that's going to take a while.
Right. Wow. Well, so you got two decks you got to collect. You got those many hours, and I think they said the size of the map of this game will be equal to or greater than the entire Witcher 2.
Yeah. Yep.
Which is not a small game by any means.
No, no, it's not.
But it really is the big shebang, like the final piece to this whole thing that CD Projekt Red's done, and I cannot wait, man. They have done such a good job with everything, especially the DLC, to not make it disappointing in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, no, there's never been any buyer's remorse on any of this content that I bought.
And they gave us a bunch of free DLC too, and it was like little knick-knacky stuff, but it was cool, you know, like more kill animations and stuff like that.
Costumes,
yeah. I like cards. Stuff like that.
I think it's really interesting because this is the first game I've bought in a long time that's a AAA title that I bought, beat, squeezed everything I could out of it, put it back on the shelf, but would not consider ever selling because I knew Blood and Wine was coming. This is one that I'm going to take more pleasure in dusting off than any game ever, I think.
And well, how many games these days can we say that we buy, and I mean, anybody can buy a game and beat it, but games that you really genuinely want to squeeze everything out of it that you can, because it is that interesting and it keeps you going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only that, but to have the type of, like, I was speaking with Harry prior to the show. I said, any company should be able to look at The Witcher 3 and say, this is how we need to do our DLC. Like, give a bunch of free shit early on, minimal stuff, you know, things that affect appearance or, you know, just small aesthetics things that they really hooked up. I think they even gave a few quests in some of that free stuff.
Yeah, they did. And I think little shit like that goes a long way.
A long way. And then when the DLC actually comes out, sure, it might be a little more than the, you know, $10.99 or $9.99. I don't even remember what I ended up paying for it. But all I know is I wasn't mad. There was no part of me that was like, man, I can't believe they're trying to charge this much for DLC. You know what I mean? Like,
sometimes I wonder how they can make the gigantic, rich, full creations of DLCs that they make for the price that they charge. Sometimes I feel like I'm ripping them off, paying as little as I pay.
Well, I can't say that about many titles, but you're right. With The Witcher, I do kind of feel like, god damn. Like, to me, this is what DLC should always be, you know?
Yep.
And if I don't get at least this level from other games, then I will feel disappointed because this has set a new standard.
Yep, and I feel like they've set the curve. They're going to be that student in class that everybody hates. They're going to be that developer that all the other developers will just never be able to measure up to. But I hope they'll at least try.
I think the only developer that's ever going to measure up to these guys is Bethesda. It's going to be CD. And you know what? I think that's good because Bethesda's been needing some serious...
kick in the pants?
Not so much a kick in the pants, but you know, somebody to kind of struggle with.
I'm still a little disappointed with how they ran their DLC for Fallout 4. When they initially say, yeah, we got Fallout 4 DLC coming, here, get it at this price, and then say, oh, we can't tell you what's in it, but it's more than what we thought.
Bethesda's never really been good with their DLC.
Ever since Horse Armor, everybody's
Horse Armor.
Had...
Yeah, they'll never live that shit.
That's the truth, though. And if anybody needs to take a page out of CG Projekt Red's book, Bethesda better give it a serious consideration.
Yeah. Yeah, that would not hurt in the slightest. In the slightest, so... Yeah, actually, that's good news. There was a leaked possible in-game map of Red Dead Redemption 2. This is the first real... any real confirmation or anything. And to be honest, the map looks very generic. I can't really make out any of the destinations or locations on it. I know, Viguy, you were saying that you could make out some of the actual territories or
I couldn't make out shit, but I trust gaming journalism enough to believe that this is somewhat legit.
Okay. Well, it looks like it's a good size. I mean, it's hard to really get a proportional size of a map from what we've been playing, from just a map size. But it does look significant. And if this is any indication that Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming down the pipeline, then more power to it.
It has to be. Rockstar hasn't been doing anything since they were in 5 except for supporting it. And you know that just supporting 5 is not all that they're capable of.
And some time ago, we had talked about Rockstar possibly even doing this at E3. Yeah. At least giving you a little something at E3 about it.
Yeah.
Well, but traditionally, Rockstar doesn't really present at E3. Like, we don't... Rockstar has reached that level of status that...
But didn't we confirm that they had something going on at E3?
Not that
I thought that we had something saying, or I don't know, some sort of E3 news, and that's kind of where we took it. We were like, oh, you know what it could be? Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah. I do know that, I think it was like a week before E3 last year, or whenever they announced Grand Theft Auto 5, I think they just announced it like out of the blue. I don't think it was like at a press release or at any major conference, which, like I said, I mean, they're the type of company that can get away with that kind of shit.
Well, they can make major headlines just by having a announcement.
Right. Yeah. The conversation we were having was, Rockstar hasn't done anything really super new lately, so what do you guys think? And then, of course, that was the next thing to come about was the possibility of it.
So there are a few things that this map and the information that comes with it hints at. I want to go over those real quick.
Yeah.
Just to kind of give you an idea. I don't think this game is going to be called Red Dead Redemption 2 because it appears to be a prequel.
Okay.
Also, on top of that, they say that the strange thing about the map is that you don't see any railroads, which if you played the first one, you know the railroads played a pretty major part in that game.
Oh, yeah.
I believe there was even a train heist. Mm-hmm. Maybe that was DLC, I don't remember. But here's the weird thing about the map. Although it does not show any train tracks on the map, if you look closely at the legend, there is a little color key there for railroad.
Hmm.
Which tells me that this is an incomplete map, which should not surprise anyone, because it's a leak.
Hmm.
Could someone have cooked this up just to fuck the internet? Yes, sure, but it appears to come from a trusted source, and these things usually pan out, right?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be mad about that, but...
The only other curious thing I'll mention before we move on is that one of the regions on this map, and I don't remember the name, it's New Something, New Brunswick, New Something, shares its name with that of the setting of a good portion of Mafia 3, which was a game made by Rockstar's parent company, Take-Two. So that seems to remove all doubt of coincidence to me. Mm. But what doesn't make sense there is that, you know, Mafia 3 took place in 1969. This is an Old West game that's probably going to take place. What? Old West shit usually takes place in what? 1700s and 1800s usually?
Yeah, I think so.
1800s.
Yeah, I was going to say 18.
So could this area exist between those two timelines? Sure. But it makes you wonder why would they tie those two properties together?
Yeah. No, that is a good question. I guess part of the question I have as well, though, is in the backstory we got on John Marsden from the original Red Dead, where was he from? Did we get a backstory? Well, number one, doesn't it take place in Texas, I thought?
I don't think they ever expressly said. All you know is that you're a neighbor to the north of Mexico, because the game has you going down to Mexico and then coming back.
Yeah,
I just don't remember
like
it ever.
Territorial kind of a deal.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't really say because it didn't really have to.
Okay. Huh. Well, I was just going to say, if it did take place in some place like... Well, I mean, it wouldn't be impossible. I know he was on the run, right? Like, he was coming from a sordid past.
It says that he is a former outlaw looking for an all-new life in 1911 America.
Hmm.
So there's your date.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find some sort of a background story on him.
Yeah, it's been a while since I played it, but I thought...
All I really remember is that he had, you know, a rough and tumble past, quite a few enemies, maybe a few illegal activities under his belt, but that's to be expected, right? It's the Old West.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a big old biography on him, actually, right here. I'm not going to go through it, but I will pick out what I can here.
No trouble. I will say that I do like the fact that in Grand Theft Auto 5, when you're setting up your grandparents, one of them could have been John Marsden, and I thought that was hilarious.
Hmm.
I don't know if you guys noticed that. But... Mm-mm. Yeah, if you go through, you're going through and you can set your lineage and grandparents, you can kind of say what they look like, which has the determining features on your appearance.
I don't know. I'm already trying to predict a title, because, let's see, first we had Red Dead Revolver, then we got Red Dead Redemption, so you'd think the third one would be Red Dead R something, right?
Red Dead Retribution. I don't know.
Whoa. Wow. Yeah.
There you go. So you heard it here first, folks.
Yeah.
Red Dead Refried Beans.
Yeah.
It's a cooking sim, an Old West cooking sim. Now, I will say that Red Dead Redemption was probably the best open world experience that Rockstar's ever pumped out, in my opinion.
Yep. It, that's the thing about what they do. It's not just the setting that gives you the feel for their games, it's the time period. So, like, GTA has never really sucked me in like it does most people, just because I lived out in California, man. It's not that pleasant. It kind of alienates me, that whole Western city feel, where it just kind of feels like there's no law and just terror reigns. It kind of felt that way sometimes, and I don't know. That's not very chill. And Red Dead Redemption is not a chill game either, but I don't know why, but I can just relate to that Wild West easier than I can the whole West Coast cities, cityscape kind of setting. I don't know what it is. I just like it.
How many good Western games did we get?
Yeah, none.
Not a whole lot, man.
No.
That's true.
So it's always good to see something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool when you see a movie genre that has always deserved to be a game genre finally done and done right.
Correct. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. Yeah, I concur. Did you get any location on his backstory?
Location is what you're looking for?
Yeah, if they said, you know,
yeah, wherever. No, they don't really say kind of where this all takes place. It's very left open.
Yeah. So, I mean, it is possible that Louisiana was in his past. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't consider Louisiana, you know, the West, but maybe back then it was. I don't know. You know?
Well, I mean, since we can't really tell the scale of this map, could it be that all those lines we're looking at are not counties, but maybe states? I mean, how much are they really going to try to model this after the actual United States, historically?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. Hard to say. I mean, it is possible, but... All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and jump into what we've been playing. Let's go ahead and start with Harry. Harry, what have you been playing this week, sir?
Well, as you know, we got down a little bit of Division.
Indeed. Indeed.
Which is good.
There were some changes. So what did you think of some of the updates that you've seen since we got on last night?
The biggest thing that I noticed was the drops.
Okay.
We did have a couple high-end drops that we would typically not have seen. And I remember seeing in one of the patch notes somewhere along the line that they were going to try to make it a little bit better about that. What else did we have that was noticeable?
I think for me, the big change was now that they did something a little bit like Destiny. Destiny has what they call light levels. Now the Division has instituted what they call gear levels.
Ah, that's... Yeah, okay. That's right. The gear... Level.
So every piece of gear that you have now reflects a particular value.
A particular number, correct. Yep. And to do some of these raids, a.k.a. incursions is what they call it, I don't think your gear level has to be that high, but it's very much recommended.
It's recommended a particular. Now, when you say raids, does anything particular come to mind? Like, what is your... When you hear the word raid...
When I hear raid, I think...
What do you expect?
Okay, so like anything that we do in the game, like our dailies... those are essentially dungeons where you can take four people in and complete it on challenging, hard, whatever. Yeah. When I see incursions or raids, I think four groups of four people that all have to work together to get it done. That is a raid in my aspect with multiple bosses. So in that incursion, Falcon Lost, I haven't done it yet, but I'm pretty sure it works that way. There'll be separate groups of four all working for the same goal, and there should be bosses within the raid. So you might have like three or four bosses in that raid, but then at the end, of course, there'll be the big crazy boss.
You but, might think that, but due to the fact that the Division is what I would call a light MMO, it's not actually quite like that. I would describe it more as a horde mode.
Okay.
To where you have like three waves of five.
Okay. That, yes, I did read something about waves
that you have to go up against, and then I believe the final quote unquote boss is a armored vehicle.
Okay. Yep. That's right.
That you actually have to figure out a way to take down. And then the reward is what they are now calling gear sets.
Yeah, gear sets, which is nice.
There are different kinds of gear sets. I know, and you're not going to get them only with the incursion experience. Now, you can run the incursion many times as you want in 1 week, but only the first time you run it that week are you going to get the primo drops.
Right.
So, from what I understand, this is much more of a horde mode experience rather than a traditional raid like you'd see in WoW, if you will.
Right. Now, and from what I understand, the gear sets, I'm trying to think of a good way to put this. So, if you're running a DPS character, there might be a gear set drop that does not pertain to you so much as it might to somebody else.
Correct.
So, if you get a gear drop that is, whatever you want to call it, but it suits a tank more than a DPS, you might want to throw it to your buddy. Yeah. And maybe he gets one that's like, hey, man, I know you're really into sniping and doing all this DPS. You take this one. And the whole point is to build your set to the standard of how you want your character to be.
Well, I think once you get at least four pieces of that set, then all the sets, quote-unquote, activate and get some type of set bonus is what I was reading.
Right, so, yeah, and that's how it is with most MMOs. The more of the set that you have, you get the bonuses for it. Like, you might have to have, like, three pieces of a set to get said bonus, or four pieces of a set to get said bonus.
Yeah.
Typically, you have to get at least the whole set, and then you might get, you know, if it's a DPS set, whatever, extra 100 points on your DPS, or this or that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are different sets. You can get the sets from completing your dailies, from the incursions. I even understand that there's some that you can get from the Dark Zone itself.
Yeah, that's
so, I mean, red. It's not, I mean, there's still obviously incentive. My biggest disappointment is, once you reach level 30, when you go into the Dark Zone effectively resets for an end game Dark Zone.
Correct. Right?
I would have liked to seen that once you hit level 30, the PvE experience, or the player versus environment experience, were to quote unquote reset for a level 30 character.
I agree with that. No, I think, and it tries to scale as best as it can, but it's still like
there is really if you've done all of the encounters and all of the wing missions, there is no reason once you hit level 30 to go back and do any of that.
I think, yeah, no, I agree with you. I think everything should be level 30 once you get there, and then, you know, kind of. It would make those drops for both gear sets, high end and, you know, whatever else, a little bit more meaningful, because everything is...
There's just a lack of content in the game.
Yeah, it really is.
And I feel like, granted, the fact that they're dropping something every month does help, but I'll tell you what, the first night that we get a chance to get all four of us on, and we run through that I think we're going to be like, oh... Now what?
You know? Right. No, and the whole point of it now is to basically run the incursion and try to get as much gear set pieces as you can before the next incursion comes out. Because as of right now, this one that is out now requires a gear level of 150, which I thought we would. Yeah, 140. I'm sorry. It was 150 originally. And I thought that, you know, we'd be totally cool for that. And we weren't. We are now, but.
Well, for the 140, we were. We were both above 140.
Right.
I think you started at 147.
The next one is going to be like 225 or 220. So you got to get all your gear loaded up now before the next one drops, and then it's going to be rinse and repeat. And I think that's really kind of that's their version of raids. That's how they're going to do it.
I still would like to see a more traditional raid like you're talking about, where you have multiple groups.
Yeah, I think
going in against something. That's what I would like to see. But I feel like in an MMO light like The Division or like Destiny, that's much more difficult to pull off.
Yeah, and it really is too, because it's not like your typical, WoW clone or anything like that.
So, were you satisfied with it? I mean, do you think like
for now? Yeah, okay. For now. I still got plenty to do. On the other side of what I've been playing, you know, the Doom multiplayer open beta was this weekend.
Yeah. So what do you think of that?
I like it, man. I do. It's so fast. If anybody's ever played the old school Doom, there is no sprint. You know, you're just constantly sprinting.
Yeah, right.
Just running around all crazy, and that's how it is. It has a Halo feel to it, the way the armor and the weapon setup works.
Yeah.
Everything is super customizable. And this is just the beta. I can't even imagine how much customization you're going to be able to do in the full game. But the gameplay, man, is if you're into fast-paced shooters and, you know, knocking people's heads off with your knee and shit, it's fun. And you're going to die a ton. You're going to die a lot. A typical team deathmatch, it goes to 75 because, you know, there's just people dying constantly. So I think it's great, man. I cannot wait.
Yeah. Yeah, I played about 3 matches of it myself, and boy, did I struggle.
it's pretty intense. you're not going to be hitting a lot of people, you know, aiming-wise. It's spray and pray and use the rocket launcher and shoot the wall behind them and then try to melee them and hopefully, you know, you kill them.
Right.
And then you're going to die, and then you're going to hope the guy behind you kills the guy that killed you. And it's really, really fast, but it's fun. It's definitely fun. And not to mention, they're going to have the, that snap map deal with it, too. And I think that's going to bring a whole new level of craziness to it.
Oh, yeah. I heard that you'll even be able to set up more, like, puzzle-like experiences.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really going to be, for now, the only version of co-op that we can have is... You know, if you build your own snap map this way or another and you want to put in puzzles, or if you just want to make it like a typical co-op run through, you can do that.
Fair enough. All right. Well, you been playing anything else this week besides the Doom beta and some Division?
That's really it.
Okay. All right, Vaga, how about you? What have you been playing this week, sir?
Well, it was a lot of the usual up until Friday. I was just doing lots of Mortal Kombat, as always. Dabbling in some Trails in the Sky. Playing a little bit of Pokemon with a friend on the internet, because he finally caught them all, too. And I was I'm gonna have some battles. So that was fun, but, you know, not a whole lot of gaming until Friday came. And I was at work, and I was on my phone, and I was in the restroom. And it was half an hour until my lunch break. And I had 2 crisp $20 bills in my wallet just sitting there. They'd been in there forever. And I realized that Bravely Second had come out that very morning.
Yep.
And so half an hour later, I was jumping in my car and driving really fast to my local Walmart to buy that game.
Nice.
So that's, you know, really the only birthday present I got myself. But it's so good.
That's right. We did have
without any real spoilers, since you played the demo on this one, I'll just tell you this.
Yeah?
Everything that demo, story-wise, everything that demo set you up to believe gets turned on its head immediately.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
now I didn't finish the demo, so is that still gonna
I didn't either, but it still rewarded me with some shit.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great game. 30 jobs, all of them new.
Wow, no repeats. Yeah. Are there any repeat characters besides the Pope?
So far I have one party member who was from the previous game. You remember Tiz was your protagonist?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Tiz is now in my party, but he's not the protagonist. There's a new protagonist in this game.
Okay,
and
cool.
It's interesting what the protagonist's name is, because it's Yew, Y-E-W.
Nice.
Now, do you remember how the first game ended?
I never finished it. Never finished it.
Oh, my God. Okay, then. Well, I could be spoiling this for anybody who hasn't finished the first one, so
it's all right. I'm not going to be mad if you do.
So, at the end of the first game, Tiz, the protagonist, has this little speech where he says, and now that it's all over, it's time for me to give back something I borrowed.
Okay.
And he drops dead. and I didn't really understand this ending, and apparently most Americans and Westerners didn't, so I took to the internet as soon as I beat that to find out what the fuck he was talking about. Apparently, that thing I borrowed was you, the player's eternal soul.
Hmm.
Interesting. So, by you opening up your 3DS and playing that game, you were directly being the protagonist all along.
Oh, so he was using, quote-unquote, your soul to complete the quest, because you were controlling him.
And now the new protagonist's name is you.
Hmm. Well, so what explanation do they give for Tiz coming back in that case?
I don't want to spoil that.
Okay.
I think you will play this game, and it's definitely not something I want to spoil. Let's just say it involves some really interesting gyro videos.
But there's an explanation.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Cool. It's easy to forget the 3DS has gyros because so few games use them.
Oh yeah.
This game does.
Well, even in the demo, that was a huge part of it.
Yeah, and it's like that. So if you like that, you'll love this game. It's
all right. I'm not mad about it. How far into it are you?
Oh, not very. I just got to my second city, so not very far at all.
Is that 5 hours?
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay. Pretty good.
It's got everything the first game did, and it just added some conveniences and some new touches that really make me realize how much I've forgotten about Bravely Default. What a great game that was.
Have they ever explained why it's not considered a Final Fantasy title?
They never have. I think it's their strategic, it's Square's strategic way of trying to revive a brand.
Okay.
Give it a different name, keep enough familiar. Revival items are still called Phoenix Downs. Fire is still fire. Ice is still ice. Thunder is still thunder. But you don't get Viraga. You don't get Fyra. Sure. You know? So it gives you enough to feel grounded in the Final Fantasy world. It gives you all the old shit that they get, apparently in Japan they just can't believe we still want, like world maps and different shops and different towns and optional characters, vehicles. This game has all that. They finally somehow drilled it into their skulls that, we want more of that shit. We're always going to want more of that shit. That's exactly what this game is. It's fan service for money, and I pay for it gladly. It's a great game.
Okay, cool. Well, good to hear. Anything else you've been playing?
No, not really. Just, a little Peggle here.
A little Peggle. All right.
Just wrapping it up, you know. I had the DLC on sale for 99 cents the other day, so I got to get through it before I forget that I bought it.
For sure.
That's about it, though, for me.
Okay, well, fair enough. The list of games that I have been experiencing might seem somewhat unusual. As Harry previously mentioned, I got into some Division with him last night, which was the first time I had played since I'd heard that they had fixed a bug with the DLC that, like we mentioned previously, basically eliminated your...
I didn't want to get near it, man, until it was fixed. I was like, no.
Yeah, pass. I was very much the same way. I was like, there's no way I'm giving up that much time. So now I had heard that they did go ahead and reinstate any characters with the data up to April the 12th, so you wouldn't have lost anything specifically. But so we got in on the Division. I know we talked about that. Of course, I've also been playing some Destiny. And Destiny really helps put the Division in a slightly different light. Destiny is a great game. I've loved the gameplay mechanics. The story as a whole still is not completely logical to me. I won't quite say I'm all in. It's not as a cohesive story or a feel compelling story as the Dollar Flu in the Division personally, but I mean, we all know that we don't necessarily play video games only for the story. You know, the gameplay is a big factor of it, and Destiny's got some great gameplay. I gotta admit it's really great. So I really been enjoying that, and I've believe it or not, I've also been playing some WoW, World of Warcraft.
Well,
it's not an oh no.
Oh no.
No.
Okay. Well, Wes is gonna get divorced.
Heartily. For those of you that may or may not know, World of Warcraft, I think you can get up to like level 25 for free. Yeah, you can download it and play. You can't do a lot of things. You can't get into a group. You can't do trades. You can't do a lot. You're very limited. The reason that I have recently got back into this is a buddy of mine that I play Hearthstone with, they've recently said, oh, get some Hearthstone swag once you ding level 20 in WoW. Well, I did not have a level 20 character in WoW, and they said the only criteria is you got to get from 19 to 20. You can do it for free. So I said, well, why the hell not? Let's do it together. Sure. And then, inevitably, the dreaded MMO curse happens when you try to play an MMO with somebody. One person decides to endlessly grind when they have the free time to get much further ahead than the other person.
I feel like he's addressing one of us more than the other here, Harry.
Oh, no. No, it's neither one of you. Unholy karma, you know who the fuck you are. But needless to say, he had a day off that I did not. And by the end of that day, he was at like level 18, like 10 levels further than I was. I was like, this some bitch right here was like, hey, why don't we go ahead and do this? We'll grind it out together. I was like, okay, yeah, sounds good. Sounds a lot of fun. So needless to say, currently I'm sitting at level 11, Paladin, Blood Elf, and slowly working my way to level 20 so I can get a portrait in Hearthstone that is exclusive to hitting level 20 in WoW. So I've been putting a little time. I think I've maybe played 4 or 5 hours tops. Just here and there, maybe 45 minutes at a time. So it is slow going. I recently learned that Blood Elves are the worst race to pick.
Yep.
Because there's everything's so spread out. You're running everywhere. So yep. You don't level very quickly by any means in comparison to other races, which I didn't know. Did not know. But whatever. I thought it was to be more for fun because you're doing it with a friend. But
did you see where they closed that vanilla server?
I did, which I don't really understand why it's such an ordeal.
Like, here's the thing. There's a big old contingency of people out there that believe that they should have vanilla servers like that so mm-hmm. people can experience the game the way that it was when it came out, before you had mounts, before any of that bullshit, and you mm-hmm. had to like really kind of put the work in.
Yeah.
And, you know, for as much as I detest WoW now because I just don't have the time for it.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun in WoW when I did play it.
Okay.
Like, don't get me wrong. And sure. I kind of agree with the petition. Like, I think they should have servers like that.
Okay. An optional server to where you
right,
can...
Right, yeah. They don't even have to invest a lot of time in it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's because it's freaking vanilla. You don't have to do anything to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, Blizzard, they didn't want to play ball. And either way, all I'm getting at is I think it was really cool that, like, thousands and thousands of players, like, showed up and were, meeting, like, all over the map in certain cities and shit just to, like, kick it and be like, hey, man, this is it. This is vanilla.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really neat that
yeah.
even still people can come together and enjoy that and try to support it and freaking petition the damn thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I did think it was interesting. I remember similar aspects to less popular MMOs. Things like Dark Age of Camelot, EverQuest 1 and 2, where similar things would go down. But I do know that... I feel like the face of an MMO is quickly changing and evolving. We have these MMO lights like Destiny and The Division. And with VR on the way, I think... what we are accustomed to with MMOs is going to be significantly different within the next 5 to 10 years. I don't know how much longer a vanilla WoW. I mean, shit, I still know people that play Ultima Online, which was like the first MMO I ever got into. And I asked them, how many people are typically on a server? Oh, about 30 to 50. Now, is that worth maintaining the server for?
Yeah.
I mean,
see, here's the thing with the WoW server, though, still had like 100 and some odd thousand people on it, and it was privately run. But yeah. Blizzard, you know, did the cease and desist deal.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Which is silly.
Yeah, now that's something, because it's not taking anything away from them, really.
Right, and if they were smart, you know, they would incorporate that into their already existing servers and have and just be like, okay, well, you know, if you want to play vanilla, then here's a few dedicated servers for you.
Yeah.
You know, take care of your customers, stupid. Seriously, though, that's what it boils down to. Like, if that's what some people want, then make it accessible to them.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. They need to make it accessible for sure, but... All right, well, besides WoW, which I've gotten into, of course, I've been playing some Hearthstone, and I'm still waiting for that expansion to come out that I think it'll be dropping before the end of the month, so fingers crossed on that. Besides The Division and Destiny, I did try the Battleborn beta, which is also going on this weekend. It's out till tomorrow, very much like the Doom beta. Well, I take that back. The Doom beta ends tonight. I think the...
Yeah, you get till 12 tonight.
Mm-hmm. Is that Central Standard?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
And you said the full title itself is out May 13th?
Correct.
So, yeah, like 3 weeks.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's only too fitting that it would come out on a Friday the 13th.
Yeah, you know that that's just perfect.
Well, Battleborn, I gotta say, was an interesting experience. I felt, especially after playing the Doom beta, that it was obviously significantly slower. I played as the Elven Archer, which is weird because she had a Russian accent. and, I mean, she did all right. I wasn't mad about choosing her.
Everybody knows elves are British.
Right? Yeah, right. But the game did feel a little bit like Borderlands in some of the gameplay, which I loved. It's not a bad thing. I mean, it is by the same company that did it. Gearbox.
Yeah.
Sorry, Gearbox, and they did a good job. The characters are all very unique and. Wildly, I could see them all as vault hunters in a different world, and I don't know. I had a good time. The groups were a little large, 5-person groups, which in and of itself I think is a little large. We did do a campaign mode, which took probably 30 to 45 minutes, which isn't necessarily bad for that. It's just longer than I anticipated when I said. Oh yeah, let me try that. And especially with the baby and the wife, everything. Like there was more than once I had to stop to take care of things. So, but needless to say, Battleborn seems to be a good one. I'm interested to see how this stacks up against Overwatch, which is Blizzard's contender to a first-person MOBA experience, is what I kind of I'll call it. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But besides that, Clash Royale, I've been getting steadily thwomped in.
Thwomped.
Thwomped, yeah. Winning is not something you see me do often in that. But, you know, I'm a glutton for punishment, as they say, so I am sticking to it. I figure I play long enough, I'll get more cards that will allow me to pump up my minions, and eventually I will have success. I have no doubt. So,
okay, Levi.
Yeah.
Character Super Mario Thwomp. Which one is it?
Thwomp is the big square dude covered in spikes that comes down from the ceiling.
That is correct.
And Thwomped in my mind is spelled THWOMP'D.
Well said, sir. Well said. I've also been playing a free-to-play title on the 3DS called Pokemon Shuffle, I believe it is.
Yeah.
It's been a while, but I will say since I got that new 3DS, I'm enjoying many of the titles that I have long neglected. There was a pretty good size update that I had to do since it's been so long since I played, but a lot of fun.
How do you feel about the way your screen looks? Because you didn't like that at first. Was that just a growing pain looking back, or do you think it's a problem?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I would say it bothers me approximately mid-range, 4 to 6. Some titles are better than others. Mm. But, I mean, it is still a noticeable lack in clarity. And I think in a world of HD, it's... I think if I didn't have something to compare it to, like a smartphone... Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be so bad. But I do feel like when your standard is, you know, a 6-inch screen that you're on, you know, everything from phone calls to text messages to, you know, you're looking at pictures, you're looking...
In 2D.
In 2D, yeah. And typically because I am playing... And I need to get another car charger for my 3DS, which I did have at one time, but it broke. So because of that, I typically don't play with the 3D on. Mm. So, it depends on the game, but for the most time, it's negotiable. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, with the 3D on, not on, I also would have to say it's nothing to write home about, but it's that glorious 3D that gets me.
Yeah. Yeah, the enhanced viewing section of that is pretty nice, but... the reason I've kind of jumped back to some of these games I've neglected is because I have finished up Fire Emblem Conquest.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say I was disappointed at all, except for the lack of opportunity to generate offspring. Mm. Because the game is so streamlined and you go from one match into another without the opportunity to really grind, mm-hmm. you really literally only play 27 battles. Mm-hmm. Like, that is it. How many battles would you say you played through?
There's 28 chapters, but yeah, I would say 27 battles. It's the same. It's the same amount.
Oh, really? You didn't have the opportunity to play side missions or anything?
What you can do is you can go to a battlefield that you fought on before,
mm-hmm.
in between missions, and refight that battlefield. Just kind of random monsters from that region. You can do that as many times as you want with any battlefield you fought. So it's not a side quest. It's just straight up grinding to grind.
Okay, maybe that was an option that I just didn't notice. But to my knowledge, it was not an option.
Yeah, I've heard it wasn't in your version. I've heard in your version it just forces you from chapter to chapter. And if you want any kids, if you want any A-list relationships, mm-hmm. you've got to have it planned out from the start. And you've got to be pairing those characters up, boy and girl, whatever. Boy and boy, girl and girl, however you want to do it.
Yeah.
Or by the time chapter 28 rolls around, it'll be too late.
Mm-hmm.
If it's any consolation, I held out and did not fall in love the entire game. By the end of it, I had 6 chicks in love with me. And nice. I just wouldn't say the three magic words to any of them.
Yeah.
I was expecting that whole time for some of my characters to fall in love with each other and have kids.
Yeah.
The only characters that fell in love with each other without myself being involved were women. And these women only wanted other women.
Hmm.
So nobody had kids. Nobody got to fall in love.
Now that's unusual for a Fire Emblem game, right?
Right. And I had the version that's focused on that bullshit. Now my roommate's playing through Birthright, and he's doing nothing but just like... all this breeding. He's got like every kid that it's possible to get.
Oh, wow. And
just makes me sick. I wish I had spent more time focusing on that the first time through. I'm honestly, while I wait to exchange games with you, I'm honestly considering going through on the hardest setting just to kind of redo things the way they should be done.
All right, on. Well, okay. Cool. Well, needless to say, I've enjoyed this title immensely. It was a lot of fun. I would give this a 8 out of 10 as a gameplay experience. It was definitely challenging and difficult. The story was adequate. I mean, there was no major lapse in logic, I'll say. But
I don't think the story is going to pay off until we play Revelation. That's what Revelation is for.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to...
yeah, like you said, the story was adequate. It had a few twists, a few turns. It stayed interesting. It was never crazy in any way, mm-hmm. but they did a good job with it. And I think it's really going to get tied together well once we see the whole picture. What were you saying?
No, I was just asking, are you picking up Revelation?
Yeah, but not until I play Conquest.
Okay. Cool. All right. Well, right on. Well, besides that, that is pretty much all I've been playing. Oh, the last thing I wanted to talk about was Miitomo.
Oh, yeah.
Vigai, you and I have both been exchanging questions and responses, and we actually got some stats that were coming from SurveyMonkey, which is a site that collects data from users on different products. And according to their data, this isn't from Nintendo, so we don't know exactly, but from the individuals that they polled, Miitomo is killing it. Approximately 4 million monthly active users spend approximately 8 minutes a day on average playing. You feel like that's an accurate statement?
Speaking of companies setting examples, like we were talking about earlier with CD Projekt Red, I think a lot of these startups, a lot of these companies that are trying to get their piece of meat in the whole mobile market, and who find themselves going way overboard on the DLC, way overboard on the microtransactions, way overboard on the price of the app itself in some cases in the early days, should take a page from the Nintendo book on this one. Try some subtlety for once in your life. Make a game, make it free. Doesn't even have to be an actual game, just make it some kind of social experience. Offer the opportunity for people to spend money if they're enjoying this free game enough to, you know, enjoy it on a slightly higher level by having spent money on it. Mm-hmm. Clothing, bullshit, whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Side stuff that doesn't really matter to the core player. Because that's what Nintendo's done here. They're not going to get any of my money, but I can see how they might get somebody's money. I really can.
Well, and that money that there are basically asking you to donate is a good way I would put it. Has accumulated to approximately $280,000 per week. That breaks down to about $40,000 daily that they've raked in since the release of Miitomo. That's fucking ridiculous.
Yep.
$40,000 a day?
Get your money on the back end. Give it to them for free. Use the Kodak business model. Give them the camera for free. They'll come back and they'll buy that expensive film.
Yep.
Enough of them will to make it worth your efforts.
Yeah. And I say it's definitely paid off for them because, goddamn, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So, I know that the one disappointment that I've had with Miitomo is it doesn't handle GIFs very well, unfortunately. It just posts the thumbnail of the GIF. But for that to be the only complaint I have, it's a first world problem for sure.
Well, I was shocked when we found out that you could post pictures. I considered that to be a cool bonus. And here you're salty that you can't post a GIF?
God damn it. Yeah.
Fuck. Next you'll be salty that you can't post a Blu-ray quality video clip.
What, you can do video?
No.
Oh, shit. Well, god damn.
You never know. This game is going to get updates. What we've got now is might just be the bare bones version of something that will evolve. You never know.
Yeah. And now it is Nintendo, so we'll see.
Yeah, true.
But needless to say, you know, like you said, it is fun. Would you say you spend at least 8 to 10 minutes a day on it?
I would say that's exactly what I spend on it. And I would say maybe 6 days out of the week. It's not a religious thing. It's not like Animal Crossing was. It's just a thing that you do when you've got a little bit of time that you don't know what else to do with. You've read your gaming news for the day. You're in line at the donut shop. You're on the toilet. Whatever. Miitomo's just that. I mean, with its notifications, I think that's how they really got it right. That's how they got me coming back to it and not just forgetting about it.
Yeah.
Is those notifications. Every time I get a notification, unlike most annoying notifications from apps that you download, this isn't a reminder that jewels are on sale this week. No, it's a notification from an actual person who commented on something I said, or they are just sharing something about themselves, and I have the opportunity to comment on what they say.
Yeah.
It's never something from Nintendo. It's always something from a person who I know in real life.
Yeah. Yeah, that does make a difference. That does make a difference. But... All right, guys. Well, as we're fond of saying, don't get caught.
Don't do it.